Here is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons. Hiya, Gibby.
Hey, you know, you guys realize it's like 80 degrees outside where I'm living right now. And
yeah, we don't care.
I should be outside working in my yard, so let's go.
It's about 10 degrees here. Which
Wait a second. You're the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, the American League East champions. What the hell are you doing your own gardening? Get a guy. I got a guy. I got a group of guys come. They cut the grass. They cut the plants. I look at it. I walk on it. I don't cut it. You got to get with the program, Gibby.
Hey, don't you live in one of those penthouse suites down in the high-rise downtown?
No. I got the palatial estate. I still got the big-ass house. And I got people
to do all of them.
Yeah, no, I just got one. But I got people to do all those menial jobs. They're very good people, too. I can hook you up. I don't know if they'll come to Texas, but I'll give you some names.
We'll leave it at that.
All right. So we got a whole bunch of things to talk about, but here's a real interesting one. We're not going to bury the lead here.
Okay.
So in the last few weeks, a couple weeks ago, I get a phone call from a listener. This is not my idea, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense to me. And what we're talking about is the obvious absence of a leadoff hitter for you as things stand right now. In other words, there isn't a guy that you would say, well, that's your leadoff hitter. Would you agree with that?
No doubt.
Okay. So in the absence of a trade, until Travis gets back, which we're now told is probably going to be in May, now you go, who are you going to lead off with? Well, you put Tulo there last year, and we don't know whether he really likes that, and I don't think you really wanted to put him, but whatever. So guy calls me and says, Gibby, what about Jose Bautista? Now, I know your first blush is going to be, well, that's crazy talk. But think about it.
No.
Think about it. What do you want out of a leadoff hitter with the bangers you've got behind the leadoff guy? You want a guy who can get on base a lot. Do you care whether he steals? Which he does. Probably among the best in baseball at it. Gets on base a lot. And does he need to be fast? Nah. You got all the bangers coming up after him.
Right.
One less banger, though, because he's on base.
Well, I grant you that, but, you know, you still have Donaldson, you still have Encarnacion, and, you know, Martin can hit some home runs. We hope the new left fielder will be able to hit some home runs.
Well, by the time Martin comes up, Bautista will have scored already.
We hope so, yeah, at least once. So,
why don't we put Eddie up there?
Eddie's on-base percentage isn't quite as good.
It's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. But it's not quite as good. You know Jose gets lots of walks.
No doubt. You know what, Bob, you know, it's an interesting point. You know, I've been sitting around, you know, the last few weeks and ever since we traded Revere, just kind of looking at some things. And, it is a hole. And, you know, I made the argument last year, and I was really excited when we first acquired Tulowitzki. Tulo, we put him up there. I love the way it worked, you know, and the team really took off, so. You know, the team was winning, and then we flipped he and Revere. You know, later in the season,
and you still won.
Just kept rolling.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm not, you know, Tulo had always told me, and I believe him, and I think he still feels his way. You know, he'll hit wherever we want him to. I think he likes it a little bit further down, to be honest with you.
Me too.
So we'll see. But it really is a hole right now. I mean, you don't want to mess with. I don't think take Donaldson out of the two spot.
No,
I'm not so sure. Even if Bautista would be real happy with it, if you wanted.
Well, I was going to ask you. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't think he would be, because you know he's you know how the game of baseball it is. Guys, you know, they identify with certain positions they play, where they hit in the batting orders, the numbers they wear, and he's a number three hitter. You know, we moved him back and forth between the two slot a couple years ago after some injuries when Reyes went down. We bumped everybody up. And you know, he was just more comfortable in that three spot. You know, it really shouldn't matter, but it can become a psychological thing too. So
when you were,
it's something we got to figure out. It's not too far off, and I'm sure we'll tinker with it a little bit in spring training there and come up with what we think is best. But when we did trade Benny, you know, we definitely needed that bullpen help, and I love the trade, but it definitely created a hole.
Well, so John, 20 more at bats a year. That's how you sell it.
So, John, when you were tinkering and filling out the lineup in your head, did you once time, did you put Jose Bautista at the top of the lineup? Yeah, like, yeah. Are you just being polite?
Oh, yeah, Mike. I put them all there. You know, sometimes some of the lineups look better than others. You know, so who knows?
You're so diplomatic.
Made your trade before then and get a lead off it. You don't know that.
Well, no. I mean, in the absence of that, you know, we understand.
No, I know.
It's not.
I don't want to stir any. Everybody,
can Stroman hit? What's his on-base percentage?
Yeah, can Stroman hit?
We know he can run the bases.
Who's that?
Can Stroman hit?
Yeah, he wants Stroman to bat leadoff and pitch every fifth day. Yeah. The kid would do it, too, I'll
you
bet.
You know he would.
You know he would.
And you know he could run the bases. We know
good.
That.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Do you see I think you do. I think you would agree right now it looks like the first four in your rotation are set. And the competition is going to be the five spot. Inclined? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the way it's stacking up. You know, it's going to be nice to have Strobeck, you know, the whole year. And, you know, of course, Dickey, and then we re-sign, you know, Estrada and Happ. And, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to bring Sanchez, you know, go to spring training. We're going to stretch him out, see how that all plays out. And at the end of spring, you know, decide whether we're stronger as a team with him in the rotation or in the bullpen. And then, you you have Hutch and you have Jesse Chavez. And so there'll be some good competition. But I feel pretty good about this team right now. I really do. But
yeah.
still some questions to be answered, no doubt.
One of the things I've said, Gibby, and I want to hear your take on it. The mystery of Hutch is that it was impossible for me to identify the difference between the good Hutch and the bad Hutch. The guy and we saw both last year. I mean, we saw more of the good guy the previous seasons, but he's still young. But
right.
Usually you see a guy with Cecil, you saw his velocity drop. He went down 2, 3, 4 miles an hour. He couldn't get the fastball at 90 miles an hour. He refines that and becomes a really effective bullpen guy. What, right. In your opinion, what was the difference with Hutchison? What made him kind of come apart last year?
Well, Bob, you know, from watching it for all those starts, you know, really when he's, you know, and you can almost say this about everybody, but, you know, since we're talking about Hutch, you know, it's really, he's got to be able to locate his fastball like everybody does. But
yeah.
That's crucial for him because that's kind of one of the things, you know, he is young, but he's battled that, you know, early in his career here. And the fact that, you know, I think his slider was inconsistent. You know, 2 years ago, you know, we really saw that nice razor blade slider, that big strikeout slider. You know, last year it was kind of hit or miss. You know, it got too big. You know, it wasn't as sharp, and you know, he wasn't getting the swings at it, and like he normally does. Now he when I say he locates his fastball, one of the things that has always made him effective. You know, he'd hit his spots, but then with two strikes, you know, he'd move that thing around. He'd elevate it. He'd throw it out of the zone. And they would chase him for, you know, strikeouts because he
right.
would get a lot of strikeouts. And so those, I think he just, and I think part of it is experience, and I think he's going to be better this year. It's just, you know, just refining it just a little bit more. And I think that comes with time. You know, he's still young. When he gets in trouble, he would press like most young guys do. And you got to remember, too, you know, the year, even though he was 2 years removed from Tommy John, he came back that following year. You know, he threw a lot of innings. I think he threw 180 innings.
He did.
So, and I know it had to take a toll on his, you know, physically. But he came through healthy. He wanted to do it. We needed to see him do it. And then last year he might have been a little bit tired too. Who knows? But I think, you know, he's going to be that much better this year because we've all seen him win. You know, it can be kind of a mystery sometimes. We all try to figure it out. What's the difference in the home and roads? It was like, you know, year to year. Last 2 years has been different. Home and the road. And, you know, you try to figure it out, but I don't think anybody's really been able to put a finger on that. But, you know, he's still so young, and he's won some games in the big leagues. He's really thrown some dominating games in the big leagues, too. And so it's in there, and I think it's really, like most of the young guys, it's just a matter of time before it all comes together consistently, and I think that's probably what he's looking at this year.
Now, John, I know you're big for the motivational speeches. I know it's a big part of your repertoire. So I'm just wondering, when you get this group together where they have, you know, basically, I think you have 9 pending free agents, if I got my math right. You know, obviously Edwin and Jose Bautista are the big ones.
Right.
So you get them together, presuming a bunch of extensions aren't signed, which doesn't look that likely. And you're giving your speech, all 30 seconds of it. Are you more likely to suggest that, look, that could be a rallying point, like tomorrow's not promised to this group, and this is our chance to put our name in the history book, so to speak, with this franchise? Or are you kind of concerned that it could become a kind of a distracting thing? You got a lot of guys not certain about what next year is going to bring, and if things don't get off to a good start, will you be able to keep them, get them back on the rail, so to speak? You know where I'm getting at?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, Mike, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I'll say to him as far as, you know, whether I'll even talk to him about, well, X number of guys maybe leaving next year. But what I will say is, you know, we finally got a taste of it last year. You know, and it's been so long for you know, the country in the city of Toronto, and we loved it. We enjoyed it. But now we got to build on that. You know, we got close, but we didn't quite get there. And you know what the reality of the business is? You know, some guys could be leaving, and so let's take advantage of this now. And let's not be just a, you know, one hit wonder either. All of a sudden, you know, go and disappear this year, and all is forgotten. You know, I think. I'm going to tell them this team's too good for that to happen. So we really need to pick up where we left off last year. Because it had been so long coming to get to there. We still got to work harder than we did the year before. But don't lose that good feeling we had, you know, because, you know, very few of us have felt that before.
Now, there's two schools of thoughts with free agency. I know in I've talked to NBA coaches, and if you have too many guys playing for contracts, it really disrupts the ability to have that kind of really good chemistry to make the sum better than the whole of the parts, or whatever you mean. Is there any risk of that in this clubhouse or on a baseball team where you have enough guys who are, like we said, uncertain about where they're going to be a year from now? Does it detract from their ability to, or willingness to play good team baseball, which was a big selling point last year?
Right, Mike. You really never know, and so who knows how it all plays out. But you know, the way I look at it, you know, our two big guys you're talking about, you know, Eddie and Jose, you know, be free to leave after the year. My gut tells me right now they're going to both go out and, you know, have monster years. You know, they finally get to that point in their careers, and they've been around a while, and they both really came into their own in Toronto. Up until they got to Toronto, it was just kind of ups and downs, and so they made their name here, you know. But you know, you sometimes only get one shot at free agency, so they've earned that. But I think since it's been such a tough battle for them, these guys really appreciate Toronto, and you know, I don't think they'll get distracted that way, because I mean, their loyalties are there. But I think they're going to be motivated that, you know what, I'm going to have a monster year, because whether I'm here or not, it's only going to benefit me from it. But you know, the argument you were making that what other coaches have said in the past is so true. You don't know. If you get too focused on yourself, I mean, you got problems. And if that happens with us, we'll have big problems, you know, because those guys are so key to us. But I don't expect that out of, you know, not only those two, but it really anybody else, simply because last year went so well, and I think they enjoyed it. They bought into it. You know, they were finally a part of it. And I think until you get that, you know, things are different.
I want to ask you about a couple of guys that are essentially new pieces. One isn't a new piece, but we've seen so little of him, we hardly know him, and that's Michael Saunders. And I was going to say, you know him better than we do, but you didn't see all that much of him either because of the injury.
Right.
What do you expect from him? And right now, is he penciled in as your everyday left fielder?
Yeah, well, Bob, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I really, you know, I saw him in the past before we ever acquired him,
yeah,
you know, briefly in Seattle. Of course,
yep,
we get him, and then he gets the injury. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect, you know. I mean, he missed a whole year, you know, all the reports, right, he's moving good, you know, that should all be behind him. But you really never know if that's going to flare up or if he's still going to be able to move like he has in the past. And so that'll all have to play out. And, you know, you can't eliminate, you know, Pompey either. You know, how's he going to show up, and or does he go down to start in AAA, and when his time comes, if he forces our hand, does he become the left fielder, things like that. So and who knows, I mean, I'm not sure if the team's completely set yet, if there's anybody else on the horizon that could show up. But you know, we brought in Michael last year for a reason, to help us, and if he's healthy, you know, he's going to get a good shot to spring training to show us what he is.
What do you know about Storen, the relief pitcher that the team acquired? I don't know how much you've seen him.
Yeah, Bob, I haven't seen him a whole lot too, but you know, I've seen him a few times. Great arm. I've heard some good, really good things about him, and you know, I've talked to some coaches that have been around him, and you know, his numbers speak for themselves. You know, he's been a dominating closer in the big leagues. You know, he's had a little tough time in the playoffs, but you know what? That's not unusual necessarily either. And so we're not set really which way we're going to go in the way our back end of the bullpen's going to set up yet either. So we got to figure that out in spring training. You know, Storn's done it before and has done it very well. Osuna came into his own last year and did as good as he probably could, especially considering his age. And,
yep.
You know, we got to figure out Sanchi and that kind of thing. So it's really, I know you've heard it before, it's a great problem to have. You know, we're dealing with egos and the mental side of things here too. So, I think in the end they'll all, you know, once they, you know, it's for the best, however we set it up, it's best for the team. And, you know, we're here to win, and I think it'll all play out fine.
Obviously, Osuna is going to be part of your bullpen solution. As young as he is, to have two seasons as a closer or setup man, whatever he ends up being, does that in any way inhibit or set him back if eventually he would want to stretch out and start?
Yeah, Mike, I think so. It definitely could. That's one of the things you battle. You know, we talked about that with Sanchez too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, he first came up, he was pitching out of the pen for us, and then of course last year he started and then ended up in the pen. And where he is at this stage of his career, you know, where he's developing, you know, his other pitches that, you know, are so vital as a starter. You know, and if you sit down there in the bullpen and you don't use all those, you know, you do that for a couple of years, you know, does that window close? You know, that feel of pitching or that style of pitching that is the starters use. So that's that's definitely a tough call there too. And even with Osuna, the same thing. You know, Osuna's more of, you know, he's got more. I mean, he can throw just about everything at you. He's got a tremendous feel, especially for a young kid. But it's also, you know, two or three years of doing that, now it's taken away the number of innings that you built up over time to probably, you know, prepare you to become a starter. So, I don't know, there's so many, you hear so many different sides. Nobody, I don't think anybody really has the right answer. You know, they're all different as individuals and, you know, their body, how their bodies hold up and things like that. But, you know, in my mind, it could present a problem, you know, if you're thinking about starting them down the road.
Last question, because I need some explaining here. How is it that a knuckleball pitcher has a pitch count?
Who said he does?
Well, I mean, if you look historically at the decisions made with your knuckleball pitcher, how many times has he thrown 110, 120 pitches? Very rarely. Is it a pitch count, or is it a case of you generally speaking want to get to your bullpen because you think that guys start to hone in on that knuckleball?
Yeah, you know, Bob, you know, I really, you know, when the first year I had, you know, RA, you know, you didn't know what to expect, never managed a knuckleball or hadn't seen one at
sure.
all hardly either. So, but, you know, over time, I basically just judged everything off results. You know, if we get to a certain part of the game where, you know what, it's, you know, we got the lead and, you know, I think we're going to be strong, we're better off closing this game out, bringing more firepower in late in the game, then we'll turn it over our bullpen. And, you know, but if he's, you know, because the knuckleball is so hit or miss, you know, it can have nothing to do with how your arm feels. It's just, you know what, if it gets away from you, it flattens out, what have you, and next thing you know, a couple guys on base and a lazy knuckleball turns into a three-run homer, you know, where you bring in a 90-plus fastball with a good slider, you might not get any contact at all, you know. So you got to weigh all those things in.
Understood.
You know, I would love for every starter to be able to throw eight innings, you know, and I encourage that. But over time, seeing the different guys, you find out who runs out of gas a little more than the others. And, you know, you got to remember, too, our age, you know, heck, Bob, he's probably your age, isn't he?
Yeah, thanks, Gibby. He is exactly my age. Yes, we are the exact same age.
I'll tell you right now, he's heading.
Shape, but he's not a spring chicken anymore. So
he's heading for the best.
Hey, watch yourself there. Watch yourself.
Based on knuckleballers, he might be heading for the best 3 years of his career. You look at Charlie Huff. You look at Hoyt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the great knuckleballers actually pitch better in their 40s. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You never know.
You heard it here first, Gibby.
He's going to pitch. You know, he's done a great job for us. He really has.
Yeah, he's been good. Listen, we'll let you go because I know you got to, in the absence of hired help, you got to go do the garden. So we'll let you You cheapskate, you.
No gardeners in San Antonio, eh?
I guess not.
No. Like I said earlier, we'll cut it off here.
Yeah, let's not go down that road. When do you head for FLA? When do you head to go to Florida? What's your?
Well, actually, I'm coming up there this Toronto this week. We have that season ticket holder.
Oh, thing.
Thursday
oh, yeah.
Night.
Yeah, you got to talk to those guys. Yeah.
I don't know. Are you going to be there?
Nah. It's too boring.
Okay. And then I'll head down to Florida. I think it's on the 17th. Then we kick it off on the 22nd. So we'll be ready to go. I think everybody's anxious.
Yeah, oh, man. We're all excited. All of Toronto is just a buzz. So, and it's first day of February. Gibby, it's always our pleasure. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
All right, boys.